Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for the work that you're doing in each one of our hearts. Thank you how you're drawing us to the Father. Thank you that you're at work renewing us and making us more like Jesus in every way. And we just receive that work this morning. We receive your word and your power to us today. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here and you have a fresh word for us today. And you want to do something new in our hearts. And we're just, Lord, we're just saying, here we are. Lord, have your perfect and complete will accomplished in our midst this morning. We love you and we love your work. And we love your word. We love your power and your kingdom. And we love you. And we want your name to be glorified here this morning in everything that we do. We bless you, and we just ask this morning that you would open the eyes of our understanding and enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are would cover us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Richard Foster talks about the sanctified imagination. Not only has God, it not only is the Holy Spirit renewing us internally, our spirits and our hearts daily, he's also renewing our minds as well. And so he talks about as we engage with the scriptures on a heart level, on a mind level, to use our imagination sometimes. Like if Jesus is doing a miracle, you imagine what it would be like to be in the crowd or to be the person that he's doing the miracle to, or to be one of his disciples, or to how Jesus would feel at the response of the Pharisees and all this. And so it's just a way of engaging our hearts and our minds with scripture, from the heart, the goal of just greater meditation on the scriptures. And so with that same mindset, I'll let you into a little bit of Aaron's weird little world here. But sometimes when I read scripture, I like to play a little game. And the game is, what if this was the only piece of scripture I had? What if it was just this verse? What if it was just this passage? How would that change the focus? How would that redirect, reprioritize my life? And then it also gives me the ability to perhaps even measure, like, how am I doing in this area? One verse that always speaks to me in this is when Paul says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others as better than yourself." And so I think, you know, what if I was one of the disciples there in the mountain? Jesus has been crucified and resurrected. He's about to ascend to the Father. And he says, "All right, guys, listen, I'm going to be gone for a while, but you have one thing to work on. Just one thing to do. Don't be selfish. Be humble and consider others as better than yourself." And I start realizing, like, this would totally, like, transform my marriage. This would totally transform our families as we consider our brothers and sisters, as we consider our parents or our children as better than ourselves. This would transform the workplace. This would transform our community here. So that's kind of how the game works. So let's do this again. If you would just play with me today, but if you use your imagination and imagine maybe like a post-apocalyptic scene, maybe like Hunger Games or something like that, right? Where everything's changed. There's some sort of new world order. The machines have risen and society as we know it has ended, right? And so Christianity or scripture has been kind of erased from the earth and nobody knows anything about any of this. And somehow you stumble or fall down this shaft and end up in this room and you find this one piece of paper, and on the piece of paper you read and hear for the first time, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." What if this was the only piece of scripture we had? How would it reprioritize? How would it redirect our lives? What would be rearranged? There are stories of this in modern day where the Word of God is not as available as it is here in the West. And sometimes people only find one page of it. But the Holy Spirit begins to speak through that one page of Scripture. Something begins to burn on the inside of them. And they're like, "All I know is this is truth and I've got to do what this says." Can you imagine that scene of just you read this and something begins to stir in you? How far removed are we from walking in this as a reality over our lives? The amazing thing is that as we read this, we see that Jesus says this, but then he repeats it. He says it again. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. In Jesus' culture of his day, if you wanted to add emphasis to something, you would repeat it. And that's why Jesus, he'll say things like, verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen. We do the same thing. If I was to say, this scripture is really important. No, for real, it's really important. We would add emphasis to it. And here Jesus not only repeats the whole sentence, but this idea of ask and seek and knock. There's different dynamics in it, but they're really all about the same thing. They're all about pursuit, aren't they? And so Jesus is saying, pursue, pursue, pursue. And then he repeats it, pursue, pursue, pursue. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. 6 times Jesus is giving us this instruction to pursue. And not only 6 times does he give the instruction, but 6 times alongside it, he gives the blessing that goes alongside the obedience in that instruction. Let's read this together, right? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What if this were the only piece of scripture we had? How would it redirect? How would it refocus, reprioritize, reorder our lives? And how far removed are we from walking in this as a reality? Well, the good thing is that it's not the only scripture that we have. Because the first question we ask is, what are we seeking? What are we asking for? On whose door are we knocking? And the thing is, let me give you some context here. But these verses are given in what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, the background to it is that John the Baptist came as a forerunner, and his message was real simple. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, it's at hand. And when men would say at hand, they mean it's right beside you. It's with you. It's in your midst. It's right before you. The kingdom of heaven, it's at hand. And Jesus, when John the Baptist's time was done, when Jesus appears on the scene, Jesus takes John the Baptist's message. He picks it up and he begins to preach it. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, it's right here among you. It's in your midst. It's with you. It's at hand. So he gathers a crowd and he sits down on the mountain and he gives the Sermon on the Mount, which is a sermon that's all about the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount is Kingdom 101. He's saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so he teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, pray, ask, Father, let your kingdom come on the earth just as it is in heaven. And then he goes on to say, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. And so the things we're to be seeking, the things we're to be asking for, the door that we're to be knocking on is the door of the kingdom of heaven. Now that's helpful, but at the same time, when I hear kingdom, I think castles and knights and King Arthur and swords and dragons and all that fun stuff. But what is the kingdom? And I like to define it in this simple way, that the kingdom of heaven is wherever the power and the authority and the dominion of the risen Christ is manifested on the earth. That there, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There, the kingdom of heaven is with us. There, the kingdom of heaven is in our midst. And so when we read this verse, we can say, ask and the kingdom will be given to you. Seek and you will find the kingdom. Knock and the doors of the kingdom will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives the kingdom. The one who seeks finds the kingdom. And to the one who knocks, the door of the kingdom will be opened to you. So what does that look like when we say it's at hand? It's among us. It's in our midst. Well, when you first gave your life to Christ, you recognized your need as a sinner, that you needed something to be done about sin in your life. And so you placed your faith that Jesus' death on the cross totally paid for that, totally atoned for that, totally covered for that. And as a response to God doing that work of salvation at the cross, you surrendered your life to the power, to the dominion, to the authority of Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, He made you a new creation. And the dominion, the authority, and the power of Jesus, the kingdom of God, had come to you, and you had come into the kingdom. But the reality is that it doesn't stop there. We need to grow in this kingdom as well. And Jesus' desire is that His power, His dominion, His authority would be ever increasing in your life. And so there may have been a time where suddenly you got a bill and you didn't know what to do about it. And it was only, maybe it was only 20 bucks, but you were freaking out because I don't have 20 bucks. But He says, I'll be your provider. Will you trust me? You surrender your life to Him and He provides. And then the next time around, it's a bigger amount, right? But He wants more of surrender. He wants more yielding to Him. He wants to have great, He wants His kingdom to be expanding and ever growing and ever increasing in our hearts and in our lives. But the cool thing, and this is where it gets fun, is that not only does He want the kingdom to be expanding within you, He wants the kingdom to be expanding through you. And so whenever we share the gospel and God meets us with power and eyes are open and people in the kindness of God are led to repentance and surrender their lives to Christ, then His dominion and His power and His authority come and the kingdom of God expands. You will meet people who are under demonic oppression in their lives. And as we come with the power, with the dominion, with the authority of the risen Christ and see them set free, it's the kingdom of Jesus. It's His power. It's His authority. It's His dominion that's expanding and going forth. And not only this, but sickness has no place in the kingdom of heaven. Remember, we're praying, Your kingdom come on the earth, just like it is in heaven. Make this place like Your place. So when we lay hands on the sick and see them recover, it's not any power or anything to do with us. It's the power, the dominion, the authority of Jesus. It's the kingdom of heaven expanding on the earth as it is in heaven. We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking with full confidence that the door will be opened, that we will find, that there will be an answer when that the kingdom would come on the earth as it is in heaven. So God's part is first of all to say it and then to fulfill it. But as we said many times before, it's not just God and it's not just us. It's a cooperation. It's a partnership. God's part is to say it, and God's part is to fill it. Our part is to ask. Our part is to seek. Our part is to knock. And so there are just three things that are needed. Three things just on our part that I want to touch on today. And the first is this, that we would recognize our need. Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs they will receive, their inheritance is the kingdom. And that word of poor in spirit, it's a picture of someone who's a beggar that's so destitute he can't even lift his head. It's someone who realizes he's in such need that apart from someone else's mercy, apart from someone else's goodness and kindness, they have nothing. That they have no life unless this person does something. And this is our place before God. Apart from You, I have no good thing. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. We have to recognize our need. When we don't see the need, why bother asking? When we don't see the need, why seek it? Why knock on the door? And I'll say this, and I'm speaking to myself as well, because I'm a part of this as well. But in the Western church, we may not be rolling in the dole here in this fellowship, but compared to the vast majority of the rest of the church across the globe, we are filthy rich. And so we don't see our need. We don't recognize it. Why would we have to seek when we can just write a check? Why would we ask when we can just run a program? There's nothing wrong with having money and there's nothing wrong with having a program. But when it blinds us to our need, it becomes idolatry. We need Him. God, open our eyes to our need for You. I think about this past year. And if you've been around with us for a season, you know this was just a rough year. It just seemed like it wouldn't stop at times. Boom, boom. And I remember even thinking, go, what are you doing? Ever just feel like the wheels are just coming off of everything? You're like, you're wondering like, you know, who's sinned here? Who needs to repent? What have I done wrong, God? You know, do I need to resign? Just all sorts of crazy stuff just going through your mind. And I was so blessed. Last month we were at Engage Prayer, which we've got this week coming up too. Don't forget. But my wife just began praying and thanking God for all the work that we've seen him do in every one of those situations. All the provision, all the healing, all the recovery, every need met. Can I give a testimony? We gave pledges for the AC to be fixed. We're at about 75%, and this doesn't happen. 100% of the money pledged has come in. We don't need more money. We need his power. We need his dominion. We need his authority. We need his kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. My wife just began to give thanks, and I was like, God, you've been faithful. We thought we were going to drown, but you've been faithful. You've been gracious every step of the way. We need him. Second thing. We need persistence in prayer. Because the phrasing here, it's not just ask, it's not just one and done, but ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It's an ongoing thing. Again, we think salvation is just, all right, I got into the kingdom, I said the prayer, I got baptized, I throw a little money in the plate, everything's good, right? No, it's a continual progression. It's a continual seeking, a continual pursuit. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. You will receive. You'll find. The doors will be open to you. We all probably heard the line of the husband that said to his wife, I told you I loved you when we got married. If anything changes, I'll let you know, right? And we chuckle because we realize that doesn't really work, does it? Now, husbands, we need to love and be loving our wives, pursue and be pursuing our wives. It's the same in the kingdom. Even Paul said, I've not obtained this yet, but I press on towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I want to lay hold of this thing. I'm asking and I'm continually asking. I'm seeking and I'm continually seeking. I'm knocking and I'm continually knocking. I'm going to lay hold of this thing. I'm going to receive the kingdom. I'm going to find the kingdom. The doors of the kingdom are going to be open to me. There's this steadfastness. There's this persistence in prayer that we would continually seek, that we would continually ask, that we would continually knock, because there's always more of the kingdom to be had. There's always more. Jesus is continually working in us individually. He's continually taking us from glory to glory, working in us more and more of the image of Jesus. And together as the church, he is bringing us into the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There is more to be sought. There is more to be received. There is more to be opened to us. And it's ours to ask and keep on asking. It's ours to seek and keep on seeking. It's ours to knock and to continue to knock. I was in preparation. I read this account of 60 Minutes. Mike Wallace did an interview with some of the Sherpas that help people get to the top of Mount Everest. And in it, he asked them, why do you do this? It's so difficult. There's so many risks. It's so dangerous. And the Sherpa responded, it's obvious you haven't been to the top of the mountain. What would keep us going in prayer? What would keep us going in asking? What would keep us persistent in knocking? Because Jesus is so worth it. His kingdom, his power, once you get a taste of it, there's nothing like it, and there's nothing else that satisfies, which is why he tells us, seek it first, and everything else will be taken care of. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Sometimes it's difficult. I get it. Even with this adoption, I wish I could say, man, we've just been strong and solid in our faith all the way through. But before December 20th, when we've got the referral, I was working in my mind, like, when do we have the conversation that we're just going to shut this down and be done with this? It's difficult sometimes. Why, God? Why can't it just be that we ask and you do it? Why can't it be that we just seek and we find it? The most valuable things cost the most to us, don't they? In high school, I wrestled. I was on the wrestling team, and they would play this sick game with us in practice, especially at the end, right, when you're exhausted after 2 hours of conditioning and training. And there'd just be this intense time of conditioning at the end, and they'd say, okay, 25 push-ups. And you'd get down, and we'd say down, and they'd give the counts. We'd say down, they'd say 20, and they'd say 23. We'd say down, and they'd say 24, and you think, okay, one more. We'd say down, and they'd say 24. You're like, huh? Down, 24. He must have forgotten. Down, 24. Down, 20. You're like, oh, that's cruel, unusual, isn't it? What was going on? The point wasn't who could do the most push-ups. The point was, he was strengthening our minds, strengthening our hearts, and our body. He was enlarging our capacity for when it really counted. That in the match, in the competition, we had something deeper. We knew at that point of exhaustion, we had more to go, give and more to go. That when we ask, and it doesn't come when or how we like it, when we seek and it doesn't happen the way we think would be best, when we knock and continually knock and it doesn't feel like there's an answer, the question isn't, where are you, God? The question is, God, how are you enlarging my capacity? How are you deepening my reserve? How are you growing my character? How are you bringing me into maturity and spiritually? He's not abandoning us. He's conditioning us, because there's going to come a day when it counts. And do you understand that this season that we're walking in right now, everything we've gone through before has gotten us ready for this. And this right now is getting us ready for something even greater. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Question isn't, where are you, God, but what are you wanting to work in us in this season? The third thing is this, it's faith in our Father. Our part is to recognize our need, to be persistent in prayer, and to have faith. Not only does Jesus in these few verses here remind us six times, give us instruction and promises six times, but he also reminds us who we're asking, who we're seeking, on whose door we're knocking. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Again, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, it'd be an interesting study. Go through and highlight how many times Jesus says, your Father, your Father, your Father, your Father, your Father. And we understand that this kingdom dynamic has nothing to do with castles and princes and knights and swords. It has everything to do with our relationship with our Father. And that if it wasn't enough that Jesus spoke us to ask and with confidence that it will be given to us, he says, let me remind you who you're asking. We're asking our Father who knows our need before we even ask. We're asking our Father who in love predestined us to adoption as sons. We're asking our Father who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? And in Luke, Jesus says this, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're not making requests to some far off, relationally cold, distant deity. We're coming as children to our Father. And just as fathers, just as we take delight, and fathers, just as we rejoice in being able to bless and give life to our children, that's just barely even a spark compared to our Heavenly Father and His love for us. Here's the thing. He's our Father. We don't have to win His affection. It's already been given to us in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be like the prophets of Baal and cry out and cut ourselves and try and do these drastic things to try and catch His attention. He's already given it to us in Christ Jesus. It's ours. Jesus said, your Father. We worship loud here. We like to make a lot of noise. But it's because Scripture says God likes it too. He says, make music, clap, sing, shout, rejoice. We don't do it to gain His attention. We don't do it to gain His affection. We do it because He likes it. We do it because He's worth it. We do it to draw attention to Him. We've already captured His gaze. He says, you're the apple of my eye. He's a father. And when you ask for the kingdom, it's the Father's delight to give it to you. When you seek the kingdom, it's the Father's delight to give it to you. When you knock, it's the Father's delight to open the door to you. Could we do something a little different here this morning? It may be a little awkward, but it won't be for long. It won't be for a long time. I just felt this today. I think we needed to engage with this just a bit and take this a step further beyond just hearing this. So if you would, just bear with me. If you would, just place your hand over your heart. I just want to pray over you. Because right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to break the orphan spirit off our minds and off our hearts. And in the name of Jesus, every lie that says we won't receive, He won't answer, we won't find, and He won't open the door for us. In the name of Jesus, we take those lies, those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, in Jesus' name, we renounce it. We break its power. And Father, I ask you now, in the name of Jesus, that you would replace that lie with a revelation of your love for us as a father. That you would heal our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, He taught His disciples, He said, I want you to learn this, to pray and not give up. And then He told them the parable of the persistent widow who kept seeking, kept asking, kept knocking. And then He said, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find this confident expectation, this hope, this assurance that what we seek from our Father, we'll find it. What we ask from our Father, we'll receive it. When we knock on His door, it will always be open. This just happened this morning. I didn't think anything of it till just now, but Sunday mornings and even Saturday mornings, I'm in our back room just going over the message one more time. And my son Andrew always comes in. It's the first thing he does in the morning, come in to find me. Right? He doesn't even knock. He just comes right in. And there's never a time where I'm like, I'm too busy. You got to stop. You should knock. You know this is my time. And I just this morning, I thought, I need to tell him, like, I like that. That delights me. But the first thing, the first thought on your morning is, go find Dad. This type of faith. Will He find among His people confident expectation that when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, the Father will answer and open the door to us. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You. We love You. We thank You, God. Lord, that even when we are faithless, You remain faithful, for You cannot deny Yourself. And Lord, I ask today, Father, that these words that Your Son Jesus spoke, Lord, that you would seal them on our hearts. God, that You would awaken faith in us, God. That You would drive us, Lord, in love for You, in the knowledge of who You are, God. That You would drive us, Father, to seek You, to find You. Lord, just position us, Lord, to receive even greater things from You. And Lord, we repent from anything less than the kingdom reality that You want us to walk in. And God, we ask that You would lead us into that truth. We want to be wholly yours, God. And we do, Lord, we long that your kingdom would come on the earth as it is in heaven. Father, we ask today by your Spirit, by your grace, that you would align our hearts with that cry, with that desire, Lord, above anything else, Father, that your kingdom would come. And we thank you, Lord, that we get to be the intercessors. We get to be the bridge. We get to be, Lord, the conduit for your grace, for your healing, for your power, for your salvation, Lord. And Father, today, Lord, we give ourselves to seeking the fullness of that reality, Lord. Thank you that you never give up on us. Thank you that the work that you started in us, you will finish it, God. We bless you. And thank you for the power that you give by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.